I'd like to take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter number 6 is where we'll begin today. Ephesians chapter number 6. I'll tell you right now, we will not finish the lesson tonight. We'll barely get it started. I'm trying to get about 5 different lessons, and lesson 1 now is going to end up being 2 lessons. So we'll see how it goes as we get along here. There's a whole lot to say about this subject, and tonight is going to be more of an introductory. So let's pray and ask God to bless. Father, we thank you for your love to us. Thank you that you care about us. You're the God of this universe, and we know that Satan hates you. He hates your people. And Lord, he hates the lost, the unsaved. He wants to do everything he can in his power to destroy us and to harm us. So we're asking that you will help us to get armed and equipped, whether it be to help ourselves to stay pure, which we all need to make sure we're pure, or that we can help others who have fallen into the sin of immorality and impurity. Lord, just use this time and help us to get at least a foundation set as we get started here this evening. And Lord, let us be able to come back next week and really get into things. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 6, the Bible says in verse number 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The devil hates God. He hates anything that's pure, and we'll talk more about that on the second lesson. But I want to use this lesson to make people aware that there's a spiritual battle against purity. Okay, it's not just a physical fleshly battle. Oh yes, there's a lot of flesh out there, I understand that. But it's not primarily a fleshly battle, it's a spiritual battle. Yeah. And you can't fight it in the flesh, you must fight it with spiritual weapons. And of course, Proverbs chapter 6 verse 26 says, "For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life." I hope to get to that part a little bit later. But there's a real war on purity, and it's a spiritual battle in which Satan seeks to hurt God, and he wants to destroy anything that's pure and good. And he's destroying lives, he's destroying individuals, he's destroying families, he's destroying churches, and he's ruining societies through immorality and impurity. And every Christian must learn to protect himself and his and her loved ones, and everyone needs to do their part to make sure we have a pure life, a pure home, and a pure church. And if we do all that, then we'll be able to affect our society a little bit more. Let me throw this out at you too, just to begin with too. An ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. Amen. You say, "Well, I don't have a problem with impurity." Well, amen if you don't. And this isn't necessarily just for all people who have a problem with impurity. I hope it's actually for people who don't have a problem with it, because I don't want anybody to have a problem with it. Amen? Amen. And if we can prevent having a problem with it, that's a whole lot better than trying to fix someone who's had a problem. Because once you get defiled and messed up, it's really hard to recover. So I want to get into the lesson. So today's lesson is actually the reality. It's broken down. So the war on purity is a subject we're talking about. The first lesson is the reality of the battle. The reality of the battle. This is a real fight, okay? So let me give you some real casualties. This is the first point of this. Real casualties. These are real casualties out there, okay? The carnage is all around us. Broken homes, sex-crazed teens, rapists, peepers everywhere. You know, you get guys dressing up like women and say that they identify as women so they can go in the women's changing rooms and restrooms and take pictures of women. This is a horrible, wicked society we live in. Sure. It's messed up. There's peepers. There's sexting. We'll talk about that. Quote-unquote gentlemen's clubs. There's nothing. You're not a gentleman if you go to one of those things. Online porn. Illicit relationships between students and teachers. All over the place, all over our country. It's always in the news. Divorce, acceptance of homosexuality, the promotion of the transgender agenda, all of this. It's real casualties. This is a messed up society. And this is the world we're living in. And if you think there's not a problem, you better get your head out of the sand. And if you think it's not going to affect anybody else, you better get your head out of the sand again. It's going to affect and touch as many people as possible. The devil hates you, he hates me, and he wants to destroy us, and he wants to destroy our homes, he wants to destroy this church, and he wants to mess up everything pure and good. And we need to consider, I want to start with some statistics from some recent surveys, okay? This one is from the Covenant Eyes. They run an accountability software. They had some pornography statistics that they put out in 2014. In the 2014 report, of course, some of their material goes back further. And one of the stats that they listed, in 2007, a study of over 800 students in six schools, okay, so six schools, 800 students, 66.5, okay, that's a third, of young men, and 48.7, that's almost a half, of young women, said viewing pornographic materials is an acceptable way to express one's sexuality. Two-thirds of the young men, half of the young ladies in our schools in America think it's just okay. That perversion is just okay. We are losing the battle. 21.3% of young men said they view pornographic material either every day or almost every day. How did it start? Seeing it one time. And they want to see some more. And they want to see some more. And they get to develop a habit. And then their mind gets warped. 21% every day or almost every day. Now, sexting is something that's new on the scene. It's when a person takes a photo of themselves, nude or almost nude, or a video. 19% of 18 to 24-year-olds, get this, it's almost 20%, of 18 to 24-year-olds have sent a sext. This is a messed up country.
Yeah.
Another set of statistics is from Proven Men. It's an organization. They had a porn survey. It was conducted by the Barna Group. If you want to find out more information, it's provenmen.org. It's a 2014 porn survey. Listen to this. 97% of people have viewed pornography. Out of 100 people, only 3 people have never seen pornography of the people that they interviewed, which is supposed to be a good cross-section of America. 78% of have viewed porn before turning 16 years old. They've just messed up their lives. They burned images on their brain that is going to be hard, if impossible, to take away. 77% of those ages 18 to 30 view porn at least monthly. This is an epidemic. So these are just numbers. These are staggering. 64% of men view porn at least once a month. Again, two-thirds of all men in the country, view porn at least once a month. So that's all men. That wouldn't be that high amongst born-again Christians. Well, guess what? The survey actually discussed people who were born again. And 54% of born-again Christian men view porn at least once a month. And it doesn't stop there, does it? I've got a whole bunch of other statistics. I don't have time to get to them. How about this one? 80% of people don't have an internet filter to block porn from computers or cell phones. And then you say, what about the born-again Christians? 79% don't. 79% of men who call themselves born-again Christians don't have any kind of internet filter or anything on their computers or cell phones to block porn. Nothing. Nothing. And we wonder why there's a problem? Well, because we're not being very careful. Another survey done by the Barna Group from an article they entitled, porn in the digital ages. New research reveals 10 trends. Let me give you a couple things from this one. This was done in April of 2016. It was an article. One out of three Americans seek out porn at least once a month. One out of three Americans. They're actively looking for it once a month. Teens and young adults rank, they did a survey to find out what do you think is immoral. Okay? They asked a bunch of people what's immoral. And so they asked teens and young adults what to rank. And so pornography came in at number nine it wasn't the number one thing that they considered immoral. You know what came in at number four, above, you know, way above viewing pornographic images? Not recycling. So we have raised a generation that think about this. We've raised a generation that think that if you don't recycle, you are more immoral than a person who looks at pornography. That's how accepted it is in our society. You say, no way. Way. This culture is filthy, it's perverted, it's wicked, it's twisted. Of Christians who use porn, only 19% are currently trying to stop. So that means you got 80% who are using it, trying nothing to do to get away from it. So I'm trying to get you to understand there's some real problems here, okay? We've got real casualties going on. Real carnage. Second thing I want you to see is there's some real conditions. You know, to launch a successful battle against the enemy, the conditions have got to be just right, don't they? All right, and so Satan has always been against purity. We know that. We can look in the Bible and see people who are impure and fell to sin and sexual sins and things like that. So it seems that he has recently begun one of his biggest assaults. I believe he's damaging more people on a grander scale in history than at any other time. I do believe there's been a problem with impurity all through the ages. But at this time, with the way we have technology and the way things are set in our society, in the world, it's so much easier to get so many more people. And if we don't wake up and do something about it, we will totally lose the war. Listen, if you have children, you want your kids to get stuck on this stuff? I don't. Right? Some of you are married, some of you aren't married. You're married. That doesn't mean the person you marry is not going to have a problem with it. And if they do, you're going to have to figure out how to help them. What if you find out later that they did? And so all of this is for everybody. This isn't just for, you know, a few people. This is for everybody. Everybody in the church. Everybody, every Christian needs to take this subject very, very seriously. And so the devil's patiently worked behind the scenes, I believe, and he's been waiting for the right time to make this all-out assault. I think that time has come. And I want you to consider a few contributing factors that have allowed the devil to hurt so many in such a grand scale. Number one, or letter A, under these first of these real conditions is the laying down of arms. If you want to win a battle, you need to find a way to get your enemy to drop their weapons. And what has the devil done? He's gotten people to put down the Bible. He's got people stop praying. We kick the Bible out of schools, we kick prayer out of schools, and what has happened? Schools have just become a cesspool of filth and immorality. It was bad when I was in high school in the 1980s, early 1980s. Can you imagine what it is now? Wicked. Wicked. So since God has been rejected, His Word, the Bible has been thrown aside also. That is the sword of the Spirit. That's the only thing we have to do real battle with. And now our society, because we've gotten rid of the Bible and we don't believe the Bible as a group, as a whole anymore, there's no absolutes in our society because we don't have God's Word. So who's to say it's wrong? That's why we have so many people saying there's nothing wrong with it. People are shacking up, living with one another. They're not married. It's absolutely normal to most people. Absolutely normal. Several years ago, it tells you how long ago, when Sarah was born, now she's 19, she'll be 20 next month. So when Sarah was born, this is almost 20 years ago, My wife and I were making some visits to one of our bus families, and she, you know, we made the visit, and Lisa was carrying the little car seat or whatever. Well, it was Sarah in there, and one of the kids who rode our bus had looked at me and said, "Mr. Dave, is that your kid?" Now, wait, she knew that me and Miss Lisa were married. But in her mind, she was still wondering if that was my kid. Yep. How on earth could that even be a question? That was 20 years ago. Yeah. It's nothing for anybody to sleep with anybody at any time, anywhere, and do whatever they want, anywhere, anyhow. The moral fabric of our society is shot. We've laid down our arms. The devil's gotten people to put down the Bible. And when he gets Christians to put down the Bible, and you don't have fervent devotions, you're weak. You have no power.
Amen.
You're going to be run over by the devil.
That's right.
Now, there's no absolute, so everybody's right. Whatever you want to do is right. And who are you to tell me that I'm wrong? So it's wrong to condemn other people for doing what the Bible calls a sin. So we've become like the nation of Israel in the time of the judges, where it says in Judges 21:25, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So Proverbs 30 verse 12 says, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. That's this generation. They're pure in their own eyes. They think that what they're doing is okay, it's right. And they're not washed from their filth. They're filthy, but they think they're okay. That's our generation. So if we're already seeing a growing number of people in our society think there's nothing wrong with viewing pornography. And by the way, you say, pornography, well, that's you know, I don't really look at it. I just involved with a bad relationship. Do you know the word fornication is pornea? Same word we get the word pornography from. So whether you're looking at it or whether you're involved in it, it's sex outside of marriage, and it's wrong, it's sin, it's messed up.
Right.
The majority of young adults think there's nothing wrong with living with someone you're not married to. All right? I'm just telling you, it's completely acceptable. We're living in rough times. It used to be a stigma when someone said, "Hey, are you married?" "No, I'm not married." They'd be like, "Ah, oh, no, I'm not married yet. But we're getting married." Not much of a stigma anymore, is there? All right, so what are these real conditions? And I really wanted to get to the other part of the lesson, but we'll try to finish this part at least. First one is this laying down of arms. Secondly, would be the weariness of the watchman. You know, in biblical times, watchmen would diligently search. They climb up in the tower and they diligently search for troops on the horizon, the enemy. And when present danger was near, they'd sound the alarm. They'd blow the trumpet and let everybody know, "Hey, watch out!" You know, pastors are supposed to be climbing into the tower, looking for the enemy, and blowing the trumpet, and shouting, and letting everybody know. But it's not only the pastors, they're supposed to do it for the churches, but the men in the homes are supposed to be doing it for their family. Always constantly warning. I don't know how many times I've warned my son about the dangers of the internet, the dangers of the filth, the dangers of immorality. You say, "Do you think he's got a problem with it?" I don't want him to have a problem with it. That's why I'm warning him.
Right.
Because it's all out there.
Right. Sure.
It's out there. And we need to blow the trumpet. And pastors in our nation have been silent on the issue as a whole. I'm not saying at our church, but as a whole, pastors are silent. Men are silent in their homes. It makes you wonder, either they have no clue what's going on, or maybe they do have a clue what's going on. Maybe they're involved and they can't blow the trumpet because they're guilty of it themselves. And that's a big, big problem. When the ones that are supposed to be warning and helping us are also guilty of it. It's not only that, there's another condition that we see, some alliances with the enemy. The devil's built so many bridges with churches that the average Christian doesn't live much differently than the unsaved. One of those statistics I read earlier, you know, it wasn't too much different between what the unsaved did and what the born-again Christian did. Why? Because there's not much difference in how people live anymore. We've accepted the world. Ungodly music, ungodly attire, ungodly entertainment. They've all overrun churches. They've all overrun people in the pews. You talk about rock music. You know, a lot of these new evangelicals are putting information out on this stuff now. It seems like they're the only ones that are doing it. They're putting stuff, information on this. But they're rocking out with their videos and their presentations on all this. And that music is sexual in itself. I could stand up here and give you all sorts of quotes from rock and roll musicians and say rock and roll is pure sex. That's what they say. Even the term rock and roll is too descriptive. So when churches and Christians are overrun by the world, devil doesn't have to work too hard with them, does he? He's already got them. How are you going to fight something when you're using the devil's tools? Christians have failed to realize that friendship with the world is enmity with God, James chapter 4 tells us. Now, let me give you a fourth reason. Then we see a stockpile of weapons. See, the devil has accumulated a large arsenal of weapons of mass destruction. He really has. He's got a lot of people, places, and things all out there pointed at us, at his disposal. People? How about actors? Are they all moral? Musicians, models, TV personalities. It's all flesh. It's all wickedness. It's all immorality. This one shacked up with so-and-so. This one shacked up with so-and-so. This one, and it's filth. Places. Oh, yeah, he's got people. He's got places. Theaters, bars, beaches, water parks, dances, adult bookstores, strip joints, you name it. There's a lot of places. How about things? Billboards, magazines, the internet, TV, movies, advertising, fashions. There's so many things that the devil has out there. He's got weapons of mass destruction, and he's got lots of them. A lot of weapons that he has aimed at every person. You can't leave your house. You can't leave your house and drive down the road without seeing something you shouldn't see. We better prepare for war. And I'm, Lord willing, as we get on down in the lessons here, as the Institute continues, we'll have some tips on what you can do to fight and help others to fight and how to get prepared for this battle. Because if you don't get prepared, you lose. If you don't get prepared, you're going to lose. So there's a stockpile of weapons. Here's another thing that contributes. An unpreparedness of the troops. An unpreparedness of the troops. You know, Christians are not in very good spiritual condition. What happens when you're not in spiritual condition? You're not right with God. What I mean by that, you're not walking with Him. You're an easy target for the devil. And you know what? When he attacks, you pose absolutely no threat right. to retaliate against him. You're no threat. And so if you're weak and you're a parent and you're not walking with God, and the devil wants your spouse, your children, he's got them. Because you're not alert. Acts 24, verse 16 says, "And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man." Paul was saying, I'm exercising myself. You better get fit. You better get in shape. And obviously we need to do all that we can to make the battle conditions more favorable to us. And we need to ensure that we don't lay down our weapons of Bible reading and prayer. We don't lay down that weapon of scripture memory, which will help us fend off the devil. That we become faithful watchmen. We watch for ourselves. We watch for our family. We watch for our friends. We watch for our relatives. And if we see someone going astray, we pull them aside and we say something to them. We help them out. We need to destroy every alliance with the enemy. You love the world, you're the enemy of God. That's the bottom line. God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But the problem is we love the world, and we love the things that are in the world. And the devil knows that. So he'll give it to us. And God says, don't love it. It's being enmity with God. Don't make allegiance and alliances with the enemy. And beware of Satan's weapons. Okay, we know what they are. The Bible says clearly, you know, we are not ignorant of his what? Devices. We're not ignorant of his devices. We know what he uses. We just don't pay attention. We just don't take heed. We just don't care. We're not ignorant. God's shown us. There's no ignorance about it. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. We know what we should do. We know what we shouldn't do. It's not a matter of ignorance. It's a matter of we just don't take heed. It's a matter of we're not taking time in the Word to get strengthened and remind ourselves. We better be very careful. And we better get in shape spiritually. Do some spiritual calisthenics. Get that prayer going. Okay. You know, the more repetitions you do of exercise, the stronger you become, right? You know, it's not the guy who goes down and says, all right, I'm going to see how much I can bench today, and he just does one rep. He's not the guy that's going to be, you know, strong in time. It's the guy who goes down every day, does a little more. He just keeps at a few more reps. That's the guy who gets strong. You know, you wait to come to church. You wait to go to college chapel, whatever it is, to get your spiritual food. You waited too long.
Sure.
It's not the one day or once, a couple times a week bench press. It's that everyday exercise of getting in and getting with the Word of God. I wanted to start the next one. I'll give you the next one just to let you know, but we will not get far with it. Number three is we have a real culprit. A real culprit. We have a real enemy. And I've got a bunch of things I want to talk about our enemy. And unfortunately, we're going to have to wait for that for next week. So we've got a real enemy. We'll talk about a real captain. And we'll talk about a real conquest, some real victory that you can have. And that's going to be lesson one. Now, Lord willing, we'll finish that one up next week. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and the opportunity we have to study it. Lord, this is a very important subject, and you know how concerned I am for our people. Lord, I just pray that we as Christians would take this thing seriously and understand there's a battle and get in the battle and start fighting this battle for ourselves and help others who need our help. We ask that you'll guide us, strengthen us, and bring us back in next week to continue learning. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.